This morning's sermon is called Rejected by His Own, Part 1, from the Gospel of John, Chapter 6, Verse 41 and 51, verse 41 through 51, as we continue our journey in the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. As we continue to go through the book of John, chapter 6, we see Jesus talking to the people, taking their people from their fleshly desires, the physical, and turning their attention to the spiritual. Jesus gives them the truth of his choosing, of his calling, of his love, and of who he is and why he came. The Father had sent him from heaven, and that he is the true bread from heaven, the spiritual bread that man needs to have eternal life. Jesus is more concerned about our spiritual well-being rather than our physical being. Jesus said at the end of this chapter, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." So let's pick up in our passage this morning, verse 41 and 42. So after Jesus tells them all these things, it says that the Jews, the religious leaders, then complained about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that Jesus says, I have come down from heaven?" The Jewish religious leaders have come to Capernaum, where Jesus was preaching and teaching in the synagogue. And they continue to try to turn people against Jesus. They complained about Jesus' claim, "I have come down from heaven." They said, "We know who he is. We know who his parents are, Mary and Joseph. He's from Nazareth. He's not from heaven." This was the religious opposition against Jesus Christ, our Lord. Instead of having a curious heart for Jesus, they wanted to persecute him. This was the religious establishment during the time. You know, the theology department? They were so spiritually lost, so spiritually dead to the truth. Let's take a look at verse 43 and 44. "Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur, complain among yourselves." Then Jesus tells them this. This is powerful. Look at verse 44. I shared this with you last Sunday. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Wow. "And I will raise him up in the last day." Wow, powerful. These religious unbelievers were going around telling the crowd that Jesus isn't who he says he is. They were working the crowds. They were not moved by the signs. They saw no need to be saved. They were deaf to the word of the Holy Spirit. They had no appetite for spiritual things. And Jesus told them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. Stop complaining among yourselves and listen up. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day." What a revelation from God to every believer. Right here in verse 44. As we've been going through the book of the Gospel of John, over the last couple passages, we have seen many revelations from God to every believer. Listen to a couple of them that were from last week. These revelations in verse 35 that we read last week, they're not on the board. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Here's the revelation. "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Verse 37 of this chapter, Jesus revealed, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, listen to this, by no means will I cast them out. Hallelujah. Security in Christ Jesus. All that the Father gives me, Jesus said, they will come to me, and by no means will I cast them out. Verse 39 of this chapter we went over last week, this is the will of the Father, Jesus said. This is the will of the Father who sent me that, listen, that all he has given me, I shall not lose one of them. Again, full security in Christ Jesus. Now we see in verse 44 of our passage this morning, Jesus reveals, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. What a revelation from God to each believer. The Father draws, right? The Father draws. The Father gives. The Son receives. The Son keeps. The Son raises. And Jesus said, I will not lose one of them. Oh, hallelujah. I will not lose one of them who come to me. The security of our salvation rests in the sovereignty of God, secured in Christ Jesus. I said last week, it's a good thing that it wasn't our responsibility to keep our salvation. Imagine if it was up to us to secure our salvation. Oh, we'd find a way to blow it. I know I would. I'd find a way to lose it. Right? God knew better than trust you and me. He says, I'm going to secure your salvation in my Son, which is for eternity. Powerful. Then Jesus quotes Scripture in verse 45. Let's look at verse 45. Jesus said, it is written in the prophets, quote Scripture, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has, listen to this, heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Did you catch that? Jesus making another revelation. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father through His Word, Jesus said, they come to me. Divine revelation from the Word of God to every believer. Right? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right? God making a revelation to the believer through His Word. This is how one finds life, through God's Word. Jesus said, those who have heard and learned from my Father, His Word, comes to me. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to share this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about this. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, you can use Pew Bible page 1795. But if you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Passage you really need to learn and understand and go through. Here is the way of salvation through the Word of God to the believer. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll let you get there. Or you can just listen. Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to go down to verse 11 and 13. I'm going to go right down to verse 11. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. In Him, Jesus, he's talking about Jesus, also we, now he's talking about Him and the apostles, okay, when he says we. He's not talking about you and me. He's talking about the apostles. Right? In Him, Jesus, also we, the apostles, have obtained the inheritance, being predestined. He's talking about us being predestined and them predestined into the image of Jesus Christ. according to the purpose of Him, God, who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Look at verse 12. That we, he's still talking about the apostles, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of His glory. Look at verse 13. In Him, Jesus, you also trusted the gospel of your salvation, in whom, Jesus, also having believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Praise the Lord. Do you see that revelation from God? When after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom, Jesus, you have believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise to the glory of God. This is how one becomes saved, by hearing the word of God, God making a revelation to the believer, and the believer responding to God. That's how one. Divine election and human responsibility. God calls, and you respond. Powerful, right? You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You believed it. You trusted in it. Therefore, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and now you live by faith in Christ. Powerful. Jesus said in our passage today, He said, those who have heard and have learned from the Father's word comes to me. You didn't just one day wake up and say, I'm going to go follow the Lord. You heard something that hit the heart, and you came to God with a curious, hungry heart, and the Father drew you to Him, and He's going to give you to Jesus if He hasn't already. Seeing you have your Bible out, I want you to turn to Matthew 16. Pew Bible, page 1517. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to go right down to verse 13. Jesus is going to talk about the same thing right here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, we're going to go down to verse 17. Listen to this right here. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked His disciples, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? His disciples said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others say Jeremiah. Or one of the other prophets. That's what they're saying. Look at this. And Jesus said to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, look at what Jesus said to Peter right after this. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed this to you. Wow. Another revelation from the Lord to the believer. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood. You know what he's talking about? Man. For man did not make this revelation to you. This was revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. He did it. He made the revelation to you. You know what Jesus was like? You know what Jesus was saying to Peter? Hey, Peter. Just so you know, you didn't come up with this on your own. Right? Nice try, Peter. My Father in heaven revealed this to you, that I am the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. My Father did that, Peter. Hey, Peter, your father? I mean, my father? Your father in heaven? He revealed this to you, Peter. And blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because the Father revealed it to you. Blessed are you that my Father made a revelation to you through me, through his word. Unbelievable, powerful. This is how God works in the believer. This is it. If you are open to see what God is doing and you read his word and listen to the truth and you respond to it, God will make clear to you what you are to do. Period. These religious leaders that we've been reading about, these fakes, these religious unbelievers, they were murmuring, grumbling, complaining. There was no revelation made in their heart. They were not listening. They were not interested. Therefore, they were spiritually dead. Their soul, dead. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to hear the voice of God's Spirit, be open to the conviction of his voice, because salvation begins with the Father, and the believer responds to him. That's how one becomes saved. Let's take a look at verse 46 and 47 of our passage. Jesus continued, he said, not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from the Father, speaking of himself, he has seen the Father. Oh, look at this, Revelation, verse 47. Another revelation throughout these last passages. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you. You know what that means when Jesus says that, right? That means listen up. When Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, that means pay attention. You need to know this. He who believes in me has everlasting life. Amen. He who believes in me in the heart, not the mind. There are people who believe in God in their mind, not the heart. Saving faith, salvation comes from the heart. It's a heart thing with God, not in the mind. There's many people out in the world that say they believe in God, but they're so far from God, they haven't walked a day with the Lord because it's in their mind. Oh, yeah, it's got to be a God. I think so. No, it's got to be in the heart. I believe in Christ. I believe in the gospel. I believe in Jesus' words. I believe in his works on the cross, that he came to save sinners just like me. I believe it. That's from the heart, not the mind. Same truth repeated right here in these verses. Second time, Jesus is telling us, turn to me, believe in me, receive me, and you will have everlasting life in me. Right? Change directions in your life. Turn to me with all your heart. Believe in me, and I will give you life, says the Lord. We see this over and over and over in the scriptures. Jesus inviting the believer to come. Right? You guys know Matthew 11, 28, 30, right? What's it say? What did Jesus say? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, come, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Jesus said twice now, rest for your souls. You know what Jesus is talking about? Rest, not taking a nap. He's talking about salvation in him. That's rest, resting in Christ. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just come. So he said, just come. Come drink freely from the living water. True rest in Christ Jesus. Amazing. Let's take a look at verse 48 and 51 of our passage. Jesus tells him again, I'm the bread of life. Just in case you missed it the first time, look at verse 49. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. Right? We talked about that last Sunday. Right? Right? In other words, they ate of the physical food, not the spiritual food. and they died. Verse 50, this is the bread which has come down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. He's saying of me, I've come down from heaven to give you life. Right? Jesus tells them, your fathers ate manna. That was a temporary relief. Right? Like dinner last night. Right? That was a temporary relief. Right? This is what he's talking about. He's saying, but if you eat of me spiritually, if you come to me, you believe in me, you receive me, your soul will be satisfied in me. Right? Jesus makes the analogy with the physical to the spiritual. Again, Jesus is more concerned about our spiritual well-being, right? Not the physical. Yeah, he cares for our physical and he provides and we need to eat and we like healings, obviously, but he's more concerned about our spiritual life. Why? Because it's our soul, our spirit after this life that lives forever. That's what he's most concerned about, and that you find life through him, because after this life, your soul goes on to live forever in one of two places. The Bible's clear, heaven or hell, depending on your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why he's so concerned about you spiritually. Let's look at our final verse, verse 51. Jesus said, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Backs up, right? What we just talked about, right? And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, speaking of his crucifixion, which I shall give for the life of the world. I came to do this for you, so you could have eternal life in me. This is what, three times, you think Jesus wants us to notice? Three times in this passage, I've come down from heaven. He wants you to know, I've come down from heaven. I've always existed. I'm not a created being. I've always existed. Three times in this passage. Three times in this passage, he said, I am the bread of life, which you need. Spiritual bread. I mean, you think Jesus wants us to know this? You betcha. You betcha. He wants us to exactly. That's why he repeats it. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I've come down from heaven to save you so you can have life in me. Just come. Just believe. Come to me with all your heart and I'll save you. Over and over and over. Revelations. Jesus is saying, I am what every sinner needs. I am better than physical bread. I've come down from heaven to provide my body as a sacrifice to the world. Anyone who eats of this living bread will live, Jesus said, forever. He said, you'll live forever. Don't worry about dying here. It's going to happen. No way around it. But I want you to know you're going to live forever in me. And Jesus said in John 14, and I'm going to receive you to myself when you come. To consume Jesus spiritually, to make him a part of your life, to receive him and allows him to give you eternal life in him, right? He has to be a part of you and you a part of him. Period. They have to go, right? They have to go together. In other words, Jesus Christ is my life. That's exactly what you should be telling people when they say, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means Jesus Christ is my life. That's what it means. I am his, he is mine, he lives in me, I live in him, I abide in him, he abides in me. He is my life. Amen? Right? Every born-again believer should feel exactly what Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20. If you don't know that passage, Galatians 2:20, highlight it, meditate on it, study it. This is how every born-again believer should feel. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, listen, who loved me and gave himself for me on the cross. That's how you should, that's exactly how you should feel as a born-again believer. I've died with Christ. I'm his, he's mine. He lives in me, I live in him. He abides in me, I abide in him. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, what powerful words in this passage. Oh, thank you, Lord, for speaking to us directly into our hearts this morning as we gathered in Jesus' name, that you would just open our hearts and our minds more often like this to your word, that you would speak so powerfully to us, Lord, revelation after revelation after revelation to every believer. Oh, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for the promise that your Son said, all those who come to me, by no means will I cast them out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this promise as we stand faithful in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We all thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.